And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And we hope you registered for the Build Conference because, as Martin Woodward predicted on this show last week, it's already sold out.
Not that hard a prediction considering it is sold out every year we've done Build.
Okay, take away from Martin's accomplishment.
I will.
But anyway, there is a waiting list. We don't know to what extent there will be people dropping out of the conference that may open up the waiting list. But if you are interested, definitely sign up for the waiting list. The good news, of course, is that all of the content will be recorded and made available on Channel 9. So if you can't make it this year, you can watch from your living room.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely looking like a big show again, April 2nd through the 4th.
Yes, that's right. Next up, this really cool tower game starter kit coming out of a guy who calls himself McFunky Pants, which is great actually. But this library has a lot of this library and completed game, I should say, works across Windows Phone 8, Windows Store, as well as HTML5. And they've got a really great collection of videos. I started watching these last night, and they're very well done, where he basically takes you through how the code is implemented, how you can go out and extend the code, some of the different ways in which they've tried to help you if you wanted to take a game and then publish that to the Windows Marketplace, because they've already thought about things like, you know, making sure that it passes certification, making sure that when you do things that are expected of the game, like, you know, when I rotate my display, that it automatically rotates the orientation, when I change apps, that it tombstones correctly, that sort of thing. And I was just really, really impressed. You know, we see a lot of starter kits over the years that get published, and this one I think is really top-notch. So if you're looking for a way to get started with your first game on any of those platforms, this looks like a great way to dive right in.
And of course, there's ScriptTD, which we did in 2011. Our friend Larry Larson did that, and that's more a declarative way to build a script tower defense game. So rather than you needing to say write code, you can actually do things declaratively and say, you know, this tower has this many hit points, it does this much damage, and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. They're both great options for you.
ScriptTD uses XNA, so it does take an XNA dependency.
Yep.
So any place that you can run XNA, you can run ScriptTD.
But there's already some top games in the marketplace which are built using ScriptTD, so to its credit, that was kind of the first one out there.
Give a shout out to those guys.
Yes, absolutely. So this next post comes from our friend Matt Gertz over in Developer Division.
Mm-hmm.
And last week we talked about the Roslyn compiler, which
right.
I incorrectly said was a town in New Mexico.
Right.
Yes,
where
I'm
the
sleep
UFOs
deprived.
Are from, sure.
Yes, absolutely. but this is a great post, I thought, because Matt kind of talks about not only his history as a performance engineer and when he got started with moving the Visual Basic compilers and making sure that those would have a good performance over on VB.net, but now he's in charge of doing the same thing for the Roslyn compilers, and takes you through some of their performance goals with Roslyn, how they treat performance really as a first-class feature within the compiler, and some of the things that they've had to deal with as they take a look at making sure that Roslyn really does have a great performance. And so I really enjoyed this post, and it's kind of funny when he starts talking about how much things have changed over the years.
Sure. So next story is a WPF performance suite. So for those of you who are looking to analyze how your app is performing, there's basically two tools here. But the one that's really important is sort of the profiler. So the idea here is, hey, I have a WPF application. I want to be able to walk up to it and see what's happening with my controls. Are they rendering on CPU versus GPU? Understand what the performance and dependencies are. For a lot of WPF developers, they're like, well, I start looking at the whole stack, and I understand where performance is holistically, but I really want to be able to say line by line what are the controls and what are the performance implications of those controls. So cool tool for the WPF Performance Suite for .NET 4.5.
Absolutely. This other Visual Studio Toolbox episode talks about XAML Spy. Have you used XAML Spy?
Yeah, so XAML Spy is very cool. So anybody who's ever used Firebug or the F12 IE developer tools is familiar with the sort of in-place editing that you can do. But the idea is you have basically a panel with, say, XAML Spy here, your app running here, mm-hmm. and you can make changes and actually see where the XAML is. So as I mouse over, it selects a box, mm-hmm. takes me directly to where the code that's causing that UI to render.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, this code is actually represents this list box item. And you're like, I don't like that. Let me actually change the code and see real-time changes.
Edit continue.
Yeah, basically, right? For the rendering UI, and there's a number of other features within XAML Spy, but if you think of it for developers that are used to IE browser tools, it's the equivalent for XAML tools.
That's great. This next article I really liked because you might remember back in November we announced a partnership, or an extended partnership, I should say, with Xamarin. And as part of that partnership, we agreed to support portable class libraries on iOS and Android.
Sure.
And so this is a fantastic article where the article the author Nish goes through and he ports a set of libraries and an application over to portable class libraries, and he shows you how you can write your libraries in such a way that you can be assured that you can maximize that code reuse across these different platforms. And as part of the Xamarin tools, they actually have a wizard that can analyze your existing application and give you a percentage indicator that will at least be a clue about how difficult it will be to port this application to be common across those platforms.
And that indicator is like, here's your portability number, right?
Yeah, so portability 50%, index.
90%.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
So really great article, and you know, this is just going to continue to be something that's more and more important for people as they look at making sure their applications share code as much as possible across these common platforms.
Sure. Design resources for Windows Phone and Windows app development. Our friend Larry Lieberman.
Yes, friend of the show.
Doing a wonderful compilation on, hey, what are the design resources that we have? So, you know, obviously Microsoft has invested a ton in design since back in the days when Arturo did .toolbox. Larry actually pulls up the videos for people that don't understand the basics and emphasis on design. Mm. If you remember Robbie Ingebretson from Pixel Labs had done a bunch of videos for .toolbox. Well, Larry digs up the best links from .toolbox, for example. He has resources on the Nokia website for design, our resources, and the Design for Windows Phone Center, which has the principles, process, library, and resources. Things like Photoshop and PSD files available. So, and the Design for Developers classes that we have. So, and Karina Black, who's obviously been on Channel 9 a ton, a bunch of resources and videos that she's done as well. So there's a lot of resources. It's kind of like your one-stop shop for phone design resources.
That's awesome. This next story comes from a friend of mine and a friend of the show, Gordon Beeming, down in South Africa. I think he's usually the first person to watch our show every weekend, which is awesome. And he had a really great post where he took the virtual machine that I publish, and it usually has, you know, something like 50 file downloads between Hands-On Labs and their RAR sets and that sort of thing. And what I have historically advocated is that people download a tool called Free Download Manager to download those in batch. And Free Download Manager is a great tool.
I do love Free Download Manager.
But Gordon said, I think I can do this with PowerShell.
Oh,
and
bam.
So he wrote some really great scripts to do that, and he's got me seriously thinking about publishing a PowerShell script next time, because you know PowerShell really can do some amazing things, and as long as you're on Windows where PowerShell is supported, then you can really do some interesting things. And so he shows you how to not only download those virtual machines, but also how to download Channel 9 videos as well.
Now, does it actually download them and start decompressing them as well, which is the nice thing that you could actually automate as well?
Sure, I suppose you could, yeah.
Send him requests.
Yes,
for what
I'll just
to
add those to your backlog, Gordon. So we'll keep you pretty busy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. This next one actually was recommended by Clint Ruckus, another friend of the show.
Heard of him?
Yeah, he found this video that shows genetic algorithms for having these robots learn how to walk. And so it's just a pretty cool video that I thought about making this my pick of the week, but it basically goes through the process of showing how you could have a number of skeletons, and you can kind of watch how a robot would learn how to walk, and then you could watch them fall on their face, and then you can manipulate those skeletons, and then have a second generation, which gets better and better and better. Just really cool, like, you know, computer science.
Honestly, we just need to add the music from Terminator. Dun, 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 as the robot's walking.
Absolutely. Yep.
Which brings us to
Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
So my pick of the week, this is some guy out there went through and he took screenshots of all those movies out there which show source code, and he said, what actually is this source code? And it's really funny taking a look at some of the code out there that, you
this
know,
is
some,
definitely some C or C++ derivative.
Yeah,
I see string copy, I see size of, B0.
Yeah, it's really funny. There's code that's pulled out of, like, you know, the IBM Blue Book manuals, and okay. There's just all sorts of code out there, which has usually nothing to do with what they're actually doing in the movie.
I love when they do a GUI on top of it. That's the percentage complete, like in the photo we're looking at here.
I'm gonna write a Visual 84. Basic application so that it can hack past the encrypted mainframe, and once, like, I get past the firewall, we're in. Yeah.
Why do you actually need to see the code if the code is actually running in that GUI?
Yeah,
I get it.
I know, absolutely, but you know, makes the movie look cool.
Yeah. So my pick of the week is obviously the must-have a thing to review, which is Scott Hanselman's 2014 Ultimate Developer Empower Users Tool List for Windows. Mm. So Scott is always great about compiling. He's been doing this for several years. You can see his past years and what things actually stay on and what things get added. But there's just a ton here. I think I have the list available. Like, there's just some awesome tools. So he goes from app utilities, dev tools, you name it here. There's definitely a lot of fun stuff here.
Yeah, there's a tool on there that can actually slowly change the color balance of your monitors so that when you're sitting in a room surrounded by computers all day, it will actually adapt to what's going on outside. Just little things like that, to Synergy, which is a great virtual KVM. I actually prefer Mouse Without Borders now as
Wi-Fi
a great tool.
Wi-Fi Manager command line, tools for downloading apps automatically. So
this came out over the holidays. I spent an entire night, actually, once this was published, just adding new stuff to my machine and checking it out. So Scott, I don't know where he finds the time to do this stuff, but he obviously has his finger on the pulse of all these really cool things out there.
The other one that I've been using a lot is Web Essentials, Mads Christensen's tool that's been updated for 2013. That's pretty awesome. So, and their recent release adds back Zen coding too, so you can do the nice shorthand and spit out HTML, which is awesome.
That's great.
So definitely a list to check, and kudos to Scott for compiling and continuing to compile the wonderful Developer Empower Users tool list.
Absolutely, and thanks for joining us. We will see you next week.
Thanks.